With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Underwear, armpit hair, many imitators, but no one compares.
Badass Women's Hour XL with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell, and Emma Sexton on Talk Radio.
One, two, three, four!
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour Extra Bits, a little gift to you podcast subscribers. This week we meet Sarah Malindwa from The Sex Clinic, and we talk to her about all things STI and sexual health.
I mean, if you think that's the way this segment is going, you're very, very wrong. If anything, it's putting you off. We are talking sex education and STIs with Sarah Malindwa, nurse from the Sex Clinic, which is on E4 on the 24th of Feb at 10 p.m. I want to talk about this, how generations see sex differently, because the people that come on the show are very young.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of like late teens, early 20s. And they are so open. And me and my, like, old... I mean, I thought I was really open and very cool. And then I watched them and I'm like, we are just right on another planet. How do you think our understanding of sex as a whole has changed through the ages?
I think the internet has changed a lot of things for us. I think now there's a lot more access to information. Before, you'd kind of rely on your mum or your dad giving you that chat or whatever you learn from school or your friends and, you know, magazines. Whereas now, you know, there's bloggers, there's vlogs, there's, you know, you've got Instagram, you've got Twitter, you can follow, there's sex positive influencers. There's a lot of more information, and it's sort of normalized and people are just talking about it. And I think with things like Twitter, things like, especially with things like Instagram and blogs and things, I just think when people talk about something often, it then becomes the norm. And young people are just really good at that now. You know, they're really onto the social media thing, so they interact with each other. They, you know, there's and celebrities as well. I think people in the public eye also play a bit of a role. Recently we saw Gareth who's a rugby player.
Gareth Thomas.
Oh, yes.
Incredible.
And he obviously, and it all happened, unfortunately, because he was obviously, you know, somebody threatened to out him. But I mean, ever since he came out as a HIV, you know, living with HIV, it's changed how people view it. You know, he's really made, and I think just having somebody in the public eye showing that, look, this is what an STI, I live with this chronic STI, and I'm, you know, I'm one of the biggest sports personalities in the country. I have a partner. I live a normal life. I think it's great when people in the public eye can talk about their sex lives, and I think that that's happening a lot more now.
I think it's also great that there's so many more avenues for people to learn about sex.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in my 50s, and I remember when I was at school, we were given a cardboard book with a picture of a girl and a boy who looked remarkably similar. The only difference was one had a tiny willy and one didn't. And there was an arrow. And I remember thinking, I spent about a year wondering why I was arrowless, because I thought, you know, where is my arrow gone? Pointing down there. I didn't have anything. But literally that was it. And because they made it feel like a shameful, embarrassing topic, we were then reluctant to ask questions. In fact, there's so many more avenues now. That whole education just must be brilliant.
Must be brilliant. And I remember when I went, because I went to an all-girls Catholic school, so, oh yeah, brutal. So it was basically just sex when you're ready, when you're married and to conceive, pretty much. I mean...
Yeah. I think that's fair advice, actually. If my children
that's
listen,
how
I think
you're
that's
always doing
right.
It, wasn't it, Mandy?
Exactly, yeah.
But, you know, off-air, we'll talk about a show called Sex Education, weren't we? And obviously shows like The Sex Clinic. So all these things are good because they do target young people. And so I guess that's how they just become more empowered to talk about these things.
Do you see a level of misinformation, though, still? Because I remember when I was a teenager, you thought you could catch an STI from a loo seat and all that.
Can you not?
Apparently not, I don't know. Depends where you're sitting, I guess, doesn't it? We're all regional, so,
yeah.
Do you still see people turning up with those sorts of things and you're like, where has this come from?
Yeah, and this is the thing, because I remember with series one of the sex clinic, some people were like, oh, are they acting? Like, are they just... And I'm like, no, because in real life, people come in and ask these questions. You know, I had somebody recently who came in and their housemate was recently diagnosed with HIV. And she was like, she was completely like scared. I thought that she was going to tell me something really bad had happened. And you could see someone that was really anxious. She was like, you know, I'm really, you know, I don't know what to do. I want to get a test. So I was like, okay, so your housemate got diagnosed with HIV recently. And she was like, yeah. So I was like, okay, when did you guys have sex? She was like, no, he's gay. Like, no, we're just friends. And I was like, right, okay, here we go. So, and then you have to explain how the virus works and how you can't pass it on through saliva. So, you know, sharing cups. I then, you know, went in to talk about if ever there's any bleeding or anything, what to do in these situations, because she was really nervous and she had questions about what if this happens or what if that happens. And so it's normal, but then you think, and as we just said, sex education is not that great. Where else would people get information from? If you're not studying to be a nurse or a doctor or a health advisor, why would you know how HIV is transmitted or what herpes is or, yeah.
What age do you think you should start having the sex conversation with kids?
I think with kids, the minute they start to inquire and ask, I think... Obviously, do it in such a way that it's age appropriate so that they can understand. But I don't think it's ever too early, to be honest. Just on a basic about just learning about your genitals and stuff. And, you know, my nephew's 8 years old now. So my sister started to talk to him about, you know, about his genitals and knowing, you know, if someone does, you know, don't let anybody, if anybody touches you in such a way, like these kind of conversations, just to let children know that you can talk. So I think I don't think it's ever too early to talk about it in a way that children can understand for their age. Yeah.
You've talked a lot about young people, but I heard that one of the biggest risers in STIs are actually, your age group, Amanda.
Why are you looking at me?
Like over 50?
We know you.
Yeah. Your lot, Amanda. Are you noticing that in the clinic as well? Are you seeing more people of that generation? Because there's sort of a real sexual liberation for those
people
now, especially with dating apps, right?
Yeah, with dating apps and, you know, things like divorce rates going up and things like dating apps. I feel like now we live in a generation where it's easier to meet people, whether it's romantically or friends and networks and engage with different people. And so you're more likely to go out and socialise and meet people and potentially have sex.
And allowed to enjoy yourself.
And you're allowed,
well,
exactly.
That's, you know, yeah.
Yeah, that's not just, you know, and there's never, you know, you're never too old to have sex. I see patients in their 70s still coming in and, you know. So we are seeing a massive increase. And the reason being is because we're not targeting that age range. We're thinking, oh, by then you're done having sex, you know. We don't really think. We always think about the younger people and we assume that if you're older, you must be more clued on and have a bit more. Yeah. But again, unless you've studied about STIs, why would you know, you know? Why would you be aware of this?
What's the oldest patient that's ever come into your clinic?
Oh, about 95.
Wow.
Yeah. And he still comes in. Mm. Yeah. And he's a sex worker as well.
Amazing.
Really?
I kid you not. Yeah. In fact, we see quite a lot of sex workers over a certain age as well. Mm. Yeah. You'd be absolutely surprised. Mm. Like, people assume that, you know, what a sex worker might look like. Mm. I'd say 6 times out of 10, they just look like, you know, your RE teacher. Or it's not, everyone thinks you're going to have like lip fillers and like tits
suspicious
like this. And
of
like,
my RE teacher actually explains a lot.
I mean, it's a look.
There you go.
The RE teacher.
But how
look.
Wonderful that is available to sex workers.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming it's free. So
it's
they can
free.
Just, yeah.
And also, they don't have to book an appointment.
Amazing.
Yep. So, sex workers come. And, you know, I work in a clinic in the heart of Soho, and it's the busiest clinic in Europe.
Wow.
We diagnose more infection in that one clinic than the whole country combined.
Wow.
So we see quite a lot.
I think it's brilliant, just something to keep them safe in a dangerous, often dangerous job.
Yeah, for sure. Mm.
If people have never been to a sex clinic and they're nervous and they feel like possibly they're listening to this and thinking, oh, hang on, I've never been tested and maybe I should get checked. What's your advice for a first-timer?
For a first-timer, what I would say is very first thing you should consider when you're going to a sexual health clinic is whoever you're seeing has chosen to work in that field. They've not plucked us off the street and said, you're going to look at someone's penis now, you know, someone's a drippy penis. No, we've obviously chosen to. Sorry, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that, but I just have it. Sorry,
I'm just not sure it's going to help with your signups.
I know it's not going to help, is it? It really is not.
Oh, it's a bit drippy today, isn't it? That's fine. We're used to that here. Don't worry.
Come on,
bring
in.
It in. Asking for a friend.
But no, but it's true. It's like any whoever you're going to see has chosen to work in that particular profession for a reason. Clearly, we're interested in it. We love working in sexual health, and you know, there's a clear interest. Also, we've probably seen about 20 other gender tools that day, so you're just going to be one of many. And yeah, this is what we do day in, day out. There's nothing that you've got that we've not seen before. I've never been like, oh my god, that's new. No, I mean, every now and then you're like, oh okay, I've not seen this in a while. But other than that, there's nothing. We're unshockable.
I suppose you're also the person that can reassure, because everyone thinks their genitals have to look a particular way.
Yeah.
So I guess actually you can just confirm that they are entirely different.
Entirely different. Yeah. Entirely different. And there's no way, like there's no specific way that people's genitals should look. There's no, and I think porn obviously gives a distorted idea of what people's genitals should look like, but I can confirm, I don't know how many I've seen in my long career as a nurse, but I've seen a lot, and yeah, it's fine. Like, we don't care. Yeah.
Sarah, you've been absolutely brilliant. We've loved chatting to you. I feel like I've learned so much. If you want to do some learning from Sarah, she's going to be on the Sex Clinic on E4, 24th of February at 10 p.m. And just, yeah, go have a watch, because quite frankly, I am in awe of all the people that turn up on that show and just are like, look, I will tell the world about what is going on with me for the benefit of humanity.
Yeah.
Great people.
You've been listening to Badass Women's Hour. If you like the show, then help more people find us. You can tag us or talk to us on social media using @BadassWomen'sHour. Or you can be really lovely and leave us a review and a rating. 5 stars, please. It helps boost us up the podcast rankings and allows other people to find us. We'll be back next week with more badass guests and in-depth chat.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.